Blog Talk Radio.
You wanna be real. You wanna be empty inside. You wanna be someone. Laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah. You wanna be whole. You wanna have purpose inside. You wanna have virtue. And purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the king. This is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire to be used by you. Wanna be real, you wanna be emptied inside, and I know my heart is to feel you near, and I know my life is to do your will, is to do your will. This is my desire.
Biggest things I want to ask everybody
if you're a fishing rod for Christ, are you like your grandpa's fishing rod is sitting in the corner collecting dust? Are you like your dad's fishing pole is stuck into the closet and hasn't been taken out in years? Are you like the Bass Pro fisherman's rod that he uses all the time? So what type of fishing pole are you for Christ? Are you the one with the dust and the rust? Are you the one that's wet and ready to go and bring the fish in? So that's one question I want to ask everybody. What type of fishing pole are you? Are you the one with the dust or one in the closet? Or are you the one that's wet and out there really bringing in the flock for Christ? So that's what I really like to ask you. And another thing I want to get right into right quick is what did Jesus say about being fishermen? The first time he says this is in Matthew 4:19. He says, "Now as Jesus was walking by the sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting nets into the sea. And for they were fishermen, and he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fisher of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed." So they just gave up everything, and they just said, "Hey, you know, I just give up everything, and I'm going to go for you." And it says, as Jesus was walking beside the sea, you know, he saw these two, and they just didn't, you know, when Jesus asked them to come with him, they didn't say, "Well, what's your name and what's your business, sir?" They didn't say that. They automatically put down their nets and left. But he said, instead of fishing with those nets, I'm going to make you fishers of men. So we're supposed to be fishers of men. We're supposed to be the rod and reel in Jesus' hand, and we're supposed to be bringing in the crop. We're supposed to be bringing in loads of fish to the kingdom. But are you doing that? And one reason why I got this fishing rod idea from, I was speaking to the Lord the other night, and the Lord was speaking to me, and he was just giving me things. And another thing that he did give me, plus this one, was he was talking about, you know, how you want to love thy neighbor. You know, in the Word of God, it says, this is the great foremost commandment. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the Lord told me, he said, I only want you to love your neighbor. And, you know, your neighbor might help you with things around in your yard every once in a while. But he says, I want you to do more than what your neighbor does for you. He said, I want you to do more than the best neighbor in your neighborhood. He said, I want you to triple the stuff that you do for your neighbors. I want to see you do more than what they will do for others. And, you know, we all got that handy neighbor around the neighborhood that always wants to do that little extra for his fellow neighbors. But the Lord wants you to do more than him. He wants you to do more than him and help your neighbors. So your neighbors ain't only your neighbors, they're your brothers and sisters. And if they're not your brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe they will pretty soon. Soon as you teach them the gospel, and then they're going to be your brothers and sisters in Christ. So do more for your neighbor than what he does for you. And second of all, make them your brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to hand this over to Robert. Go ahead, man.
Hey, one of the first things that come to my heart when you gave me that topic was, what are we doing with our lives? Our lives are supposed to be like a piece of equipment in the hands of the Lord, kind of like what you just said, Dan. Our lives are supposed to be the bait that is on the pole that is drawing the fish to the Lord. We're supposed to be going out and making disciples, amen?
Amen.
We're supposed to be going out and displaying our lives before the lost and dying world and causing them to pierce by the beauty of his glory being revealed in our lives. That is the bait that is drawing those fish to him. We are in his hands, and what's in his hands is our physical lives, but on the end of that pole, on that hook, is what everybody is seeing every day. What's on the end of that hook is the very food that they're supposed to be eating of our lives and then being drawn into the presence of God through what they see coming from us. We are supposed to go out and make disciples. That is what that fish rod is supposed to be doing, going out and transforming lives for the Lord through our own lives as we're being perfected in Him, as we're getting our minds renewed. We're supposed to be out there living that example that's drawing them to Jesus. On August the 19th, 2012, the Holy Spirit gave me this to write. It's called Disciples. The Lord Jesus Christ gave us a command that is being ignored by many today, and that is to go make disciples, teaching them to observe all that He has commanded. Disciples are people who take on the journey of self-denial, and they learn how to put God first. Disciples live to duplicate the life of Jesus Himself through their lives. Disciples believe God and trust in Father's blessings and promises. All true disciples learn how to deal with life's ups and downs by wielding the Word of God as their weapon of war. A true disciple has an intimate, close, and personal relationship to God. They allow the Word of God to transform them from the inside out. Their mind is renewed by the constant washing of the Word of God. True disciples then turn their lives into a place where the lost, hungry, and oppressed can come and get their needs met. They offer the love of God to people and demonstrate grace, truth, and righteousness by the leading of the Holy Spirit. All things are possible to them as they live the life of God through themselves. All sickness, poverty, and lack will flee in their presence because they become one with God. All true disciples learn how to give glory to God through submission. They learn how to resist the devil and stop the evil works that he presents. The intimate and personal relationship produces the kingdom of heaven right now in their life. They understand the definition of everlasting life is to know our Heavenly Father and His Holy Son, our Lord Jesus. Disciples are living the same life as Jesus Himself today. This is what He has made us. We are fishing poles. We are disciples of Christ. And we are supposed to go out and take that intimate relationship that we personally pour into each day in learning our true identity in Christ. We, the fishing pole, are supposed to take and build and strengthen our walk every day by learning how to deny ourselves and knowing that it's more important that we be used by God to be a blessing in the lives of others than it is to heap and to consume things upon the lust of our flesh and the desires that are contrary to the will of God. We are the fishing pole that God will use as we yield ourselves unto Him, that will lead others to Him. We are the light. We are the salt. We are food for them to eat. I like using this scenario a lot. If you picture an apple tree, your arms stretched out, and there's apples hanging off your branches. We're supposed to be displaying the fruits of the Spirit off of our branches, but I want to stick to the fishing pole. The food that they're supposed to be eating that we're presenting to them, the bait that draws them to Him, is the food, the fruits of the Spirit. It is the bait that Father is desiring that you and I, as that fishing rod, put on the end of our hooks and dangle it out in front of all the world. Let them see the fruits manifesting in your lives. Let them see and let them taste and see that the Lord is good from your demonstration. That's what being a fishing rod in the hands of Almighty God is going to do. It's going to draw them, and it's going to change and transform lives because of your life of submission unto God. Amen. I'm going to give it back to you, Stacy.
Amen. 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 You know, one thing that I was noticing today in my walk was that I was thinking, sometimes we get so busy caught up in our lives, we don't sit and check ourselves and see what the Lord has changed in us. We're so busy in life, but we don't really check and sit back and just think about your mind, think about what you think of, think about what's changed in your life, what the Lord has been doing inside of you. Because I guarantee you, if you've got the Holy Spirit in you and you've been talking to God and you've been asking Him to cleanse you, work on you, make you that new man that you're supposed to in Christ, you will see some changes. But it really depends on if you sit back and just look and just think. And today I went and took a triple check, and I was at work, and let me just think what God has did for me inside me. What have I noticed about myself I don't do no more? What I notice way I don't think no more? That there's things I'll say in the old memory bank, it ain't there no more. I mean, it's just where God has, you know, over the years, you know, praising the Lord and asking to be that new man, He's making that new man. And through times and troubles, when you're going through times and troubles, you are refined through that. And you don't even notice it. I mean, you're like, man, this is so rough, man. Why am I doing? You know, you're like that, but you don't stop and see how you dealt these things better than you did before. Because your mind is so caught up in the wheel, but you don't see how you're changing. So I just stopped, and I just sit back, and I just thought, I was like, hey, I don't think like I do anymore. It's just not there like it used to be. I mean, you know, negativity ain't there. You know, I'm thinking, you know, differently. And you just think and see how God's cleared your mind out. I bet there's a lot of Christians that don't notice, don't really look at what God is doing in their lives. They don't look at it. They're too busy focused on everything else going on out in the world, but they don't focus to see what God's doing in them. So that's the biggest thing. It's not what only God is doing everywhere else. It's what God is doing in you, how He's changing you, making you that new man. And see, the biggest thing is before you can do anything for anybody, you have to be changed. I mean, you can't go out and think you're gonna heal the nations and you're gonna refigure the nations. If you ain't like that yourself, it's hard for you to do that. So He's got to work on you where you'll be, I'll say, able to do what you need to do. So sometimes it's good to take a triple check at your own life and see, you know, what He's doing in your life, how He's changing, how He's doing things in your mind, how He's refunctioning you. And I took a recheck, and I started noticing things that wasn't there like it used to be. It's like cares, worrying about what people say and what people, you know. If you're a Christian and you're walking this life, the enemy's going to have people lying on you. That's just, I said in the video, you're going to have problems. If you don't have problems, you ain't really worrying the enemy that much. He ain't really all that scared with you. But see, what happens is how you handle these problems. That's why God lets you do that, to see how you're going to handle it, because I really believe we all got to be, you know, checked and tested how we're going to deal with these things. Because when you go through this situation, you come out smelling like roses. You come out doing a lot better than you have before. And that's how you see how God has worked on you through these situations you went through. All the disciples went through different tests constantly. They was going through things. And if you don't believe me, read the book of Acts. You'll see all the things they went through and all the trials and tribulations. They didn't go in these perfect lives like, you know, these greasy feel-good preachers nowadays. Like, everything is roses. You're going to be in a beautiful land. Oh, yeah, you're going to be perfect. If it's going to be that perfect, you ain't really learned much. You ain't going to learn much. You got to be refined. That's how a Christian becomes, you know, an adult Christian, is being refined through things. And when you're refined through things, that's when you come out a better man. Not just, you know, locking yourself up in a room and not going out in the world and just where you can be a better man. That's not, you know, achieving anything. When you're going through life, through this world, and you make it through things without any problems, that's when you've achieved things. That's how the disciples went through. They went through prison. They got beat. They got stoned. I know Paul, Saul, it was Paul, he got stoned and almost died and then stood up and walked off. I mean, he just got out of that. God brought him back to life and he went all about his business. And tell me if that was a happy, joy life. Now, I'm not telling everybody you're going to have this. I'm just saying that the world don't like us because we're showing Christ. We're showing love, and he don't like that. He don't want the world to know the truth. He don't. He wants to keep them in a illusion. And when you start destroying the illusion he has them in, he's not happy about that. Jesus is not fully the God of this world yet. The enemy is. Now, when Christ comes back down in Revelation, in the end, he'll take over everything, but still the enemy is over this world. And when you're messing up his fix, he don't like that. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to mess up his world. We're here to mess with him a little bit and to wake people up. When we wake people up, that's when we get stronger. That's when the Lord starts growing in this world, when we wake everybody up and show them what's going on. See, we've got to wake people up. When we bring people to the kingdom, we wake them up, say, hey, Jesus is Lord. All this here ain't real. This here, we just living a lie. Wake up, wake up. And when we wake people up, that's when the enemy don't like it. That's when he sends repercussions towards you. But the Lord says, be ready for that. You got to be ready for that. And when you go through these things, see, the enemy means harm towards you. But God uses that for good towards you. He turns you into that new man. He turns you into a better man than you was before. And then when the enemy comes at you again, you've already got your boxing gloves on. You just pop him right in the eye and you go on about your business because you're strong enough to do that. You got the Word in your heart. You got the Holy Spirit armed up around you. He's your he's your protection, and ain't nothing that the enemy can mess with you. So when you've got the Lord Jesus on, you've got it. You got it made. But he don't like that. But what I'm saying is once you check and see how the Lord has transformed you, how he has transformed your mind, you see a change. You see what God's doing. But if you're doing that triple check, you don't see no change, you got a little bit more, you know, he's got a little bit more work to do on you. But if you start seeing the changes in your mind and in your life, you start seeing things differently. You start seeing things, you know, seeing what he's doing in your life. And I was like, man, you know, I don't even think like this no more. There's things gone. There's some things not there anymore. And I could tell that the Lord's been working on me. In my everyday life, I don't notice it. I mean, I notice it, but I'm so busy, I don't got time to make a triple check. But I actually make a triple check, and I saw the Lord changing things in my life and how I'm seeing things and how I'm handling things. That's what he does. He'll go in you, start cleansing you out through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit. He'll start cleansing your mind out. He start cleaning you up inside where he can become even stronger in you. That's the thing. He wants to become stronger through you. He wants to reveal himself more through you. I mean, no matter what the enemy sends at you, a right and a left and a left and a right, you're ducking and weaving. And then the whole time he's swinging, he ain't touching you because God's in you. Christ is in you. God has the medicine for that. I'm telling you, once he changes you, it ain't nothing can mess with you. And that's what he's doing for you today. He's changing your mind. He's changing how you see things. He's changing how you live your life. He's changing how you see people. He's changing you. He's turning you into that new man. You don't realize that he's changing you into that new man. The world has got you so manipulated and all this stuff that you don't see what God's doing in you. You don't see how he's renewing your mind, how you Take a minute and just check. Just check your mind on what you used to think about and see if you even think about it anymore or if you even fight against it anymore. I about guarantee you there's going to be things in your mind that's not even there no more. It's not even there no more. I can tell you that the enemy has been putting you through heck in your life. He has been putting you through heck in your life. I'm about guaranteeing you that it ain't bothering you, and you know who's in control. The enemy's not in control of your life. The Lord Jesus Christ is in control of your life. You're going to go through with smelling like roses. I guarantee you that. But that's the biggest thing. No matter what lies the enemy throws at you, what lies he puts in people's mouths about you, I guarantee you, you're going to make through it no problem, because you know who's King of Kings. You know who's Lord of the Lord. You know who's holding your life in his hands. They don't. He is. So, amen.
Amen. That's good preaching. Amen. Hey, I just preached that sermon yesterday morning at our Bible study, how that our lives are transformed. When you sit around and you think about the things of God, when you focus intensely on the Word of God and being changed from the inside out, before you even know it, you stop going the places you used to go. You stop thinking the way you used to think. You can't do something that you don't consider. If you sit around and think about pornography, then you're going to be attracted to it and drawn to it. But if you don't think on those things, if you don't give over to that evil lust and desire, then you're not going to go that way in your life. And when it presents itself, it's going to turn your stomach. It's going to make you want to throw up on it, if you don't mind me saying, because you're just so in love with God, your whole life just changes. It's a transformation and a transfiguration that is taking place in each of our lives. That's that bait. That's that stuff hanging on the end of the hook of the fishing rod that people are going to want. It's going to cause them to be drawn to him, because they're going to see this awesome life that is manifesting in you through your intense relationship with the Lord. And, you know, there's this a couple atheists who've been coming to my pages and reading my pages and making comments and things. About 3 weeks ago, this one person, I think they live over in Sweden, they started heckling me. And I instead of lashing out at the person, I started being nice to them. I started saying kind things to them. And instead of lashing out at them and telling them to go somewhere and bury their head in the sand, being kind about what thoughts went through my head, I just started being kind and gentle towards them, telling them that Father loved them and that I loved them and that I would love to see them in relationship with the Lord, and just saying, writing things like that to them. And in 3 weeks' time, that one person has gone from heckling me, telling me to stop posting my writings, and they thought it was bull and all this other stuff, to reading them daily and commenting on how they like them, and they're literally being changed by them. So that's what's taking place. I'm seeing people's lives get changed. There was another person today that I haven't communicated with in over a month now, that had a community that they invited me to come to, and I was posting my writings there, and they too were, they say, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in this, I believe in more paganism and so forth. They're just being upfront and honest about what they believe, and I kept telling them, you know, hey, no pressure, I'm not here trying to pressure you, I'm not religious, I'm a son of God, I'm a man of God. These are the things that I was saying to them, that I'm not going to try to give them a bunch of rules and regulations and tell them that they're bad because they're acting this way and they're saying this. I'm trying to live a life of love towards them and show them and demonstrate to them that God is not this religious character that has been painted over the centuries that he is, going around killing people, hurting people. I'm trying to demonstrate to them that he is all about loving people and wanting people to flourish and not perish. He's wanting people to prosper and be in health as their soul, even as their soul prospers. He's trying to do things in their lives to get them to recognize that he is a loving, caring Father, that he wants nothing but the best for them. And those are the things, like you were just talking about, that the Holy Spirit is doing in my life. He's causing me, showing me how to treat these people who are talking junk to me and saying bad things to me and about me, and just love on them and say things kind to them, no matter what they say. And I'm even typing in to some of them, it doesn't matter what you say, it doesn't matter what you do, I love you, and nothing you can say or do is going to change that. So that's what it's come to. And then a lot of them either stop messing with me, or they keep reading and then start saying, hey, I like this. This is pretty good, you know? So that's the kind of responses that I'm getting.
It's kind of unique, man. It's kind of unique because it's like, you know, even in my life, I could be around people that I don't really get along with, but a lot of times God puts the muzzle on my mouth and shuts me up, has me to listen and to act in a different manner, no matter what's going on. And I could even tell way before I was saved, years ago before I was saved, I just kind of recollect what I would do, okay? When I would be in a situation, I was always the type of person, before I was saved, I would be in your face and I would tell you exactly what I thought, and I didn't care what you thought. I didn't. And I had a mouth that it was worser than a sailor. Every word that came out of my mouth was a curse word, and I'll tell you that. God has took every word of my mouth and has changed what I say. Took the dirt and the trash that was in my mouth and took it out. And my wife could even tell you that she wouldn't even want to hear me talk sometimes. It was so bad before I was saved. It was just,
wow.
It was just like that constantly. And it was just, and what I found that was, all that stuff was pain. See, I went through a bad childhood when I was a child, and it was pain coming out of my mouth. When you hear people in anger, you hear pain coming out of their mouth. It's not them. It's not what they're about. It's what the enemy has put in them through pain. It's coming out of their mouth constantly. And see, when the Lord starts melting, see, the grace is what melts that pain away. When he sends grace to you, it pushes that stuff out. It slowly heals you. A lot of times you can't be healed all at one time. You can't. I mean, there are some people that can, but most of the time it's more of a process, because you got to understand what's going on. You got to get the process going with your mind for it to work right. See, as you know, there sometimes it's a slow healing with that. You know, maybe a childhood, maybe a bad relationship, maybe it could be anything in your life that it's been. But it's a healing process, and he pours grace over you. He already paid for all that, but it takes more for your body to comprehend that. He pours grace, and you keep melting that stuff off, keep melting that pain off. And before you know it, you start changing. You're like, hey, I don't think like it no more. I don't talk like it no more. What's going on here? That's because the Lord Jesus is changing you from the inside out. He's turning you into that new man. And I can guarantee you, there's a lot of people out here that has went to church, and they think it's a done deal. Yeah, you're saved. I mean, You got your ticket up in heaven where you're going to go, but your physicality has not changed that much. Your mind ain't changed that much. It's a process that's going on there. As soon as you accepted the Lord, he started that process. I don't mean that's done right then and there, but it will be done. His process will be finished, but there's a process going on with making you that new man. And you've got to help with that process. You've got to be willing to ride on that train with that process. But as long as you pray to him and you stay close to the Lord and make a relationship with him, you'll start seeing that process change you. It'll start changing your mind, changing how you see things, what you do. It just changes you. You'll see you don't go to that bar no more. You'll see you don't hang with those people no more. You'll see you don't think that way. You don't talk to people like that no more. You just see it. It ain't that you're telling yourself, hey, I can't do that. Hey, I can't do that. You don't see that. You just change. You just don't want to do that no more. Now, that's the cool thing about grace. It changes you along the way. It changes you. It changes you into that new man. You can't do it. There's not no work in it for you to do. You can't pray enough. You can't do enough setups. You can't say enough Hail Marys. You can't, you know, there's nothing that you can do that can change that. It's only His grace can do that. His grace has to turn you into a new man. His word has got to change you. You can't, no self-help book can do it. Only God can do that. When you pick up that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you give yourself to Him, you have Him pour His Spirit in you, you'll start seeing a change in your life. You'll start seeing a change in your mind. You'll start seeing a change coming out of your mouth. You'll be a new, you'll be turned into the new man. I guarantee you. I saw it in my own life. I'm sure Robert saw it in his life. We've all saw it.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, amen. I did. I saw it in my life. I saw the transformation come when I made that commitment to never look back, to stay focused, and I literally cried out of my mouth. I had heard people say it for years, that they said, "Lord, I know of You, but I don't know You like I need to. I want to know You, Lord." And I cried that out of my mouth. And I even added, "Lord, I want to know You like Jesus knew You. I want to have a relationship our Lord Jesus had with You, Father." And when I cried that out of my mouth, that's when my life began to turn around. I really understood salvation after that point in my life. I began to understand what He was trying to do by sending Jesus into the earth to save humanity and to give us another opportunity to be restored to the family of God and to become the sons of God, the royal priesthood, the holy nation that Father desires that all humanity be. I began to see things completely different from His perspective, looking at people with His eyes instead of my own physical eyes. It becomes easier to do those types of things. Your heart begins to yearn to see people come to the knowledge of who they are in Christ when you have that type of relationship with Him. It's like Jesus had compassion when He looked out to the multitudes, and He saw all these people who were without a shepherd. He saw all these people without a leader, and He wanted them to know the Father. So He taught them, and He led them to the Father. That's the type of relationship I'm talking about. He wants us to all hunger and to thirst for that type of relationship, because that's the relationship that's going to give you the strength and the boldness to use your life as a calling card, as bait to Him. And, you know, I have this written testimony that happened on the job, and it explains everything that Stanley and I have been talking about tonight. On 8/28/2012, I got a phone call from California. And in the writing here, it's going to explain what I'm trying to say. "Call from Cali," it's the title. "This morning, as I sat and I looked in my journal, not knowing what to write, my mind was a blank concerning the topic. After working all day, sitting at my desk doing paperwork, my phone rang. My brother Tim, who now lives in California, called to share with me about what God is doing in his life. He first gave praise to our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ for saving him. That actually took place on the job at my desk, where he gave his heart to Jesus. We then set a date for him to come over to my house, where we then baptized him in my neighbor's pool. After that, California to become a EMT. This was an awesome step for him, as he is now holding a Bible study 2 days a week with his coworkers and seeing many people's lives change. Tim then began to tell me that he was getting ready to take a vacation in Puerto Rico, where the Lord has already spoke to him, saying that he was going to meet someone who was going to really impact his life on this trip. Now his vacation has become a mission trip, and he is very excited about all that Father is doing in his life. Tim says he constantly thinks about the water baptism service that we had for him and how that it really changed his life. He has vowed to seek God ahead of all his personal desires so that he can experience God totally the way he wants to be experienced. Amen. Is that not the example of what we're talking about? I submitted myself unto God. I laid down my life to be that person that the Lord could use to draw others to him. And then one of those people that was drawn to him goes out and he starts drawing others to him. That's what it's all about. Go
Amen.
Make disciples.
Amen.
Go teach somebody how to lead someone to Jesus by loving God with all your heart. That's what it's all about. It's not about religion. How many times do you go to church a week? Is it? Huh? It's not about
faith. See, the biggest thing is that you don't go to a multi-million-dollar church and you don't have all this big thing just to bring some people in to send them out. You're just a guy sitting at a desk, you know, doing your job, and you're just taking time out of your day and out of your life to just talk to people about the Lord. And
exactly.
it don't take a whole lot. It don't. I mean, a lot of people say, well, when we got to talk to people about God, we've got to take them to church, and we got to do this. No, just have a conversation with them.
Amen.
This is made for everybody. You don't have to take them to a multi-million-dollar church. You don't have to take them here. You take them there. They're small groups, small group ministering programs popping up everywhere in neighborhoods, popping up
mm-hmm.
everywhere, countrywide. I mean,
yes.
One of these times, I mean, we really believe, us as the body of Christ, we're really believing that the church is going to start back in small groups. These
mm-hmm.
these multi-million-dollar churches will fall, and you'll start seeing the body of Christ back in the home. That's how it first started. In the book of
mm-hmm.
Acts, all the churches was in the home. It was all independent houses. And then when Paul got hold of it, he started starting churches. But it all started in home groups is where it started. And that's where they saw the most miracles is in these home groups. The Holy Spirit would fall. Everybody would be out. Everybody would be speaking in tongues. People getting healed, transformed. I mean, some amazing miracles happen in small groups, I'm telling you. That's all it
mm-hmm.
takes. You don't got to be in a multi-million-dollar church to see miracles. You can see it in your house. I can't tell you how many miracles I saw in my house. Just with family members and people around, I saw some amazing things. I wasn't in a multi-million-dollar church. I wasn't in church. My house is my church. I've had services in my house. I mean, it doesn't matter where it is. The church is in you. You're the walking
yes.
vessel that Christ is living in. Wherever you
yes.
go is church. Wherever you go is church. Where Jesus preached, most of the time was in the street. It was in somebody's house. It was in the desert. It was on the road. It was in the sea. It wasn't in a big synagogue. And most of the time, he only spoke to most of the Jews in the synagogue. He basically spoke to anybody and anybody that would listen to him. He walked through Galilee. He walked through cities that most of the Jews wouldn't even go through. He would talk to the Gentiles. The Gentiles was who we are. We was not Jewish believers. That's who we would be if we was living in that time. He would talk to them about the Father's love. He would talk to them about amazing things. And the thing of it is, he wasn't in a church. He was talking in the street. He was talking on the street side. He was talking at the well with the lady at the well, telling her things about all the things that she was going through. See, you could be that lady in the well. You could be You could be taking this word anywhere you want to. You are the body of God. We're all bodies of God. We're bits and pieces of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're his fingers. We're his feet. We're his legs. We're everything of him. When we go there, he's there. And I guarantee you that he's there. He's listening to every word you're saying. I bet you... when your day comes, you go up to that to the heavenly gates. I guarantee you, he can tell you every word you say, what time you said it, whether it was daylight, it was light. He was right there listening to everything you're saying. He listens to what you say. I notice that when I'm doing prayers, I can notice that he's paying attention to me. He's knowing what I was doing. I'm going to tell you how I know this. One day there was a guy at work that had problems with his feet. He was walking to his machine. And I told him, I said, hey, man, stop. I said, I'm going to pray for your leg. In Jesus' name, I command that foot to be healed. He walked back to his machine, didn't realize it, and then he turned and said, it feels better. The pain's gone. I felt an angel standing right there when that was going on. I could feel the presence of the Lord right there, and an angel standing right there when I was doing it. I wouldn't notice it when I was praying, but after it was all gone, I knew it was one sitting there. I could just feel it still sitting there. That was indicating to me that he was paying attention to what I was doing. He was paying attention to what I was saying. He was paying attention to the whole situation. No matter if it was 5 minutes to a second, he was there paying attention to what I was doing. He already had that ordained that happened that day to that guy, where he would see what the power of God would do to him. And it left a quarter mark in his mind of what God could do in his life. It might have not been nothing to me. It might have just been a walk by Jesus saying, be healed, and it was healed. And it was just a straight thing just to help him out, and it wasn't no big deal to me. But to the Lord Jesus Christ, that showed the power of God to him. It showed him what God could do in his life. So it was a big deal to God. Everything you do for the Lord Jesus Christ is a big deal to him. Well, you talk to your neighbor, talk to your neighbor's son about God. I mean, whoever you talk to about God, it's all a big deal to him. Nothing's small to him. Everything you say is a big deal to him when it's spreading his kingdom. He's listening. He's not sitting back with, with earplugs in or earphone on and listening to something else. He's paying attention to exactly what you're saying. There's billions of people around the world, but he's listening to each and every one of them, whether they're building a kingdom or not, or they're just sitting back with their fishing pole in the closet, you know, gaining dust. Are you a fishing pole being used daily? Are you letting the Lord use you daily to bring in a catch? Or are you in the closet gaining dust? That's what the question is tonight. I'm going to go ahead and let Robert go ahead and say the sinner's prayer. Whoever wants to receive Christ to say this prayer, he'll come right into your heart. Go ahead, Robert.
Repeat after me. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I believe in you.
I believe in you.
I believe that you gave your life for me.
I believe that you gave your life for me.
I give you my life back.
I give my life back.
Cleanse me of unrighteousness.
Cleanse me from unrighteousness.
Cleanse me of all my sins.
Cleanse me of all my sins.
I receive your salvation.
I receive your salvation.
I am free.
I am free.
I renounce the enemy.
I renounce the enemy.
I will not live for the devil.
Will not live for the devil.
I will live for you, Jesus.
I will live for you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family, everybody. Welcome to the family.
You are born again, born from above, and Jesus is the Lord of your life. He's the King of
Amen.
Your heart. Now commit the rest of your days to serving him with all that is within you. And let the Word of God, get into the Word of God, and let it renew your mind. Let it wash your mind and purify your thoughts and transform you from the inside out. Your spirit has been perfected and sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And now you can live the life that Father desires that his children live, free from this world, free from sin, free from sickness and disease, poverty and lack. Sin and death no longer have dominion over you because you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name.
Amen.
That's above all names. Woo!
Amen.
Glory to
Amen.
God.
Amen.
We're going to go right into healing prayer. We're going to go right into healing prayer. In Jesus' name, I ask you to come upon the audience. Whoever has an illness or has pain at this time, I ask you to place your hand where the pain is. Place your hand where the pain is, and I will pray twice for that pain. I'm going to pray for whatever words of knowledge that I'm getting, and one of the first words of knowledge that I got while Robert was praying, I saw a foot. In Jesus' name, I command all feet to be fully healed and repaired. I command all muscles, all bones, all tendons in the foot to be fully repaired and restored. I command all the bones and the toes to be fully repaired and restored. I curse any arthritis at the root and at the seed in Jesus' name. I command an arthritis to die and leave the now and leave the body. I command all joints in the toes to be fully repaired and restored. I command all joints to be fully repaired and restored, all muscles to be fully repaired and restored. I command all pain to leave their feet. I command all the pain to leave their feet now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, wherever these people have their hands, I command all pain to leave their bodies. I command headaches to leave. I command stomach aches to leave. I command back aches to leave. I command chest pains to leave in Jesus' name. I command all pain to leave their body in Jesus' name now. I bind and rebuke this pain, and I command it to leave. I command it to leave. I command it to leave now in Jesus' name. I command it to leave in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, amen.
I command
amen.
If anybody has cancer, I curse the cancer at the root and at the seed in Jesus' name. I command the spirit of cancer, I bind and rebuke you, and I command you to leave their body and go to the abyss now in Jesus' name. Leave their body now in Jesus' name. I take full authority over you, cancer, and I command you to go to the abyss and never return. I command you to leave their body in Jesus' name. I command you to leave their body in Jesus' name and go to the abyss. If anybody has cancer and what you say, in Jesus' name, I renounce you, cancer, and you leave me now. You renounce that cancer. You renounce it. I renounce you, cancer. After you say that, I'm going to say in Jesus' name, this person has renounced that cancer. It has no authority. The person gives up his will towards that cancer. You have no authority. In Jesus' name, cancer, you leave their body now and you go to the abyss now. You cannot go against their will. You've got to leave now in Jesus' name. You leave their body now and never return. You leave their kidneys. You leave their liver. You leave their body now in Jesus' name. I command all the tissue that this cancer has damaged. I command all the tissue to be fully repaired and restored now. I command all this tissue to be fully repaired and restored now in Jesus' name. I command life to their body. I command life to their mind in Jesus' name. In the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. So it is.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight's been a beautiful night.
Tonight's been a good night. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. We're going to be talking about the Bethlehem Star this weekend. The guy that actually produced this thing, he may not be able to call in, but he did give me the rights to play the video here on the radio show, so most likely we're going to be playing it. You're going to get to hear him tell the story, how he found the star, where the star is located. He's going to tell you the whole, everything behind the star. You're going to be hearing about it. It's going to be awesome, so stay tuned Saturday morning. I think we're going to do it Saturday morning. It might be Friday night, but stay tuned to the ad on Facebook, and just check the time. And you'll be able to hear it. And me and Chris is going to be talking about, you know, what the movie was about or what the program's about. We're going to be just going back and forth about what what he was saying and how it related biblically and all type of things. So just stay tuned. It's going to be an awesome event. It's going to be an awesome show. And, you know, the Lord's going to touch a lot of scientific people out there that have to have science back and everything. The Lord's going to touch them through this. So stay tuned.
Amen. Amen.
So it's going to be pretty good. Now, Robert, you have anything going on at your church or anything?
Not at this time. We're still meeting at 10:30 on Sunday morning. So we've been, for the past month, going and visiting other ministries a lot. And not this coming Sunday, but 2 weeks Sunday, we'll be down in, I think it's on the other side of Monroe, about maybe an hour back out that way. On the other side of Monroe in 2 weeks. We'll be meeting here this coming Sunday morning at 10:30 at His Reflection Church.
Amen, amen. I do want to tell everybody that coming next year, I have been planning for three conferences that we're going to do. We're going to have one in Hickory, we're having one in Florida, and we're going to have one in South Carolina. As what I have, the Lord has given me, the one in Hickory is going to be in March. The one in Florida is going to be in April. And the one in South Carolina is going to be in September. And I might go ahead and give you some of the dates on here. Because normally when the Lord gives me dates, I try to stick to them pretty good there. But it's going to be March 11th. In Hickory, North Carolina, then April the 1st and 2nd in Florida, and September the 30th to the 1st of October in South Carolina. So be looking forward to those dates and for the advertisements for the events. We're trying to get set into buildings right now. It'll probably be like January before we can get everything completely set up and have a complete, you know, place where we're going to have it, because I kind of wait till then to get everything set up. I've got to get the band set up and everybody's going to speak. But I already have an idea who I'm going to have come out and stuff. But we've been talking to William Pollack. Tom Fisher has already gave us the okay. He's going to do one of the conferences. You know, I've got Heath has said that he's going to help do the Florida event. And, you know, Chuck McDonald, he's going to be at some of them. So it's gonna be fun. We're gonna have some fun at these events, and we're gonna see who all else the Lord brings in to speak. I think Dave and Patty is gonna be teaching also at the South Carolina event again, so I'm looking forward to that. But we're really looking forward to these events and seeing what the Lord is gonna do with them. He did some amazing things last year. We've had some people, you know, go down in the power of God at the Hickory event last year. People got healed. We had all kind of transformations happen at the South Carolina event, because we only did two last year. And the South Carolina event, we had people getting transformed in the Holy Spirit. You know, they got laid out in the Spirit, and they were getting transformed. We had people getting healed of hearing. We had this one guy couldn't hear, had his ears opened. We had pain gone. We had all type of unique things going. So, you know, when you come to our conferences, it's power packed. It's enriched with the power of God. Come sick. I mean, anything that you have wrong with you, come there with it. You got broke legs, come there. We'll pray for it. We'll watch you stand out of that wheelchair. If you're blind, come there with it. We'll pray for it. Watch your eyes open. I mean, we're here to show you the power of God, to show you what God can do in your life, what he can do to your heart. And, you know, we always look forward to these conferences and to see what the Lord's going to do with them next. Because each conference is kind of different. He does different things in these conferences. So, you know, just be looking forward to these conferences. And, you know, when you see one in your area, you know, come and check it out. They're all free. I never really charge for any of them. We might do a little set thing just to make sure you're coming, like a dollar or something, where you can let us know that you're coming, because that was one of the biggest things that we had at our conferences. We was trying to find out, you know, when people was coming, but we really didn't know since it was fresh. So we might do a little something this year just for you to let us know for sure that you're coming and, you know, to see what goes with that. But everything's up in the air right now. We're still trying to work everything out with that. But just be looking forward to these dates. And when these dates come out, you know, just like I said, whatever is close to you, come and check out the event. And I say God bless every one of y'all, and we will see you Saturday morning. See you then.
Good night.
Good night.